Next up, are we done with that one? Nuisance cases.
Yes.
So do we have any updates you want to say, or Josh has some things he wants to talk about?
I'll let you go first.
No, I don't know.
Okay, somebody go.
Okay, so I've been going around looking at, so we got a bunch of them around here in Brent that I have letters for. Bunch over in Wiley that I've been working on as well. I'll just cut to the chase on this instead of going through all the history. The zoning text meeting, we talked about a lot of stuff, did some research. So we do not have a junk motor vehicle resolution in place that the ORC gives us the authority to handle ourselves. We also need to do, I believe, an updated nuisance abatement resolution. The one that we have is old and it's outdated. The references no longer are the correct references. So what I'm proposing we do, I've done draft resolutions for both of those. Mm. And I think we should look at doing these as a way to handle the junk vehicles and then the nuisance abatement stuff as well forward. So we could do those as resolutions and not have to include them in the zoning text because we have authority to do that right now.
Wow.
Right. So so let's just talk about the junk cars, because my understanding is we cannot do that ourselves. We must rely on the ORC, but we are supposed to reference them. Mm-hmm. This is what the sheriff said. So I have that in the list mm-hmm. to get that in the text.
Yes. So the ORC.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So the ORC for junk motor vehicles, it is 505.173. Mm-hmm. And that gives us the authority. I mean, there's five pages here in this resolution. So I won't go through all of it because I know we're limited on time. But it goes through the whole thing about how you identify a junk vehicle, the steps you take in order to notify the owner of your intent to remove the junk vehicle, and all the various steps. Now, this draft comes straight from the ORC, okay? So I will say, I think, you know, if we're going to talk about this, you know, we don't have to have a public meeting to do this. I think we probably should.
Okay.
You have to notify them, and you have to give them 10 days notice to respond to you and ask you for a public meeting.
Okay. So in our zoning text, we have how you can update the zoning text, mm-hmm. and it does not include us passing a resolution.
Well, this isn't updating the zoning text. What I'm saying is...
Yeah, it is. Whatever you do that implements zoning text...
This isn't zoning. See, that's what I'm saying is there's a difference. Zoning handles property. This isn't property. These aren't lots we're talking about. These aren't zoned lots. We're talking about nuisances and vehicles and junk that happens to be on a property. The ORC gives you the authority to remove that. Now,
okay.
We can discuss it or whatever. I'm just telling you, I prepared these. And I'd like to see these, you know, a lot of this came about at the OTA conference when I went to these classes and they talked about this.
Did they have sample resolutions? Are these based on any of those?
Well, so what I said about having the public meeting, that was a suggestion that they said. They said, you don't have to do this. However, you probably want to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just going strictly off of what the ORC says. If that's something, we can add to it, right? Like we can say, hey, we have to have a public meeting and make that part of what our process is. But you have to do at minimum what the ORC says.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is all ORC then?
That's correct.
Okay, well, why can't we do that?
Well, if we want to talk about we have to have a public meeting, I'm open to that. I don't see the harm in that. The ORC just says you have to give them you have to say, here's your letter. It's certified mail delivered. They know they have 10 days to respond to you and request a public hearing.
Oh, so we don't have to have it unless they request it.
Right. But, you know, when I went to the OTA session, they did say it's probably a good practice just to have the public hearing anyway.
Yeah, I want to have a public hearing,
okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
We've always had them for everything. Also, we need Chris Englert to go through those and see if there's anything, you know, just like we did for mm-hmm. the cannabis one, and
okay,
and he wrote the massage parlor one for us, so we didn't have to do that. But
I
we
just
always have public hearings for them.
Okay.
So can you email that over to Chris Engler tomorrow morning
and then, to us?
And to
us.
It'd
be
nice
to have seen it before the meeting.
Yeah.
I can't comment on it since I haven't read it.
Well, that's why I brought it. I'm not saying we pass it right now. I'm saying I prepared these, so you know, you don't have to do the work to prepare it. You can take this if you guys want to look at these and tell me other things that you think we need to add or however we need to work it.
I like the idea. I haven't seen it either, but I like the idea of being able to just say here and then, you know, serve them and then we're done.
Yeah.
We can get a lot of the junk cleaned up here. I mean, the house right back here is a prime example.
So, yeah, but we need to understand, because the ORC does have junk car rules,
mm-hmm.
how this fits in with that.
Well,
that's what this is. That's what he just said.
Yeah, the...
So we don't need a resolution then. We can just refer to the ORC. If it's just ORC...
No, you have to adopt this, don't you? Don't you have to adopt this?
Yeah, but that's what they suggested, just putting it in your zoning text that you were following. I mean, whatever the I can't remember what the exact wording was, because it's been a while. But I put it on the list of things to put in the zoning text changes that we just need, because the sheriff can't do anything when they come here now, because we do not have it in the text.
Okay, well we have a resolution currently about nuisance properties.
For nuisance properties, yes.
And that's what this is. Mm-hmm. Both of these and the ORC go hand in hand. They're both...
Okay, well, I mean, just give me some time. I want to read them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Understand what
I'm just bringing it up because I'm saying...
I'm with wanting to do something about it. I mean, I think that most of my calls are about junk properties.
Mm-hmm.
And all the crap that's on them.
But this is not junk property. This is junk cars.
Those ones are junk cars. Now, you guys, you did a case, Poplin?
Yep, down the street.
And you referenced the...
Junk cars.
You referenced 0507172 resolution. And what I'm telling you is that's outdated. The ORC references no longer apply, and you referenced junk vehicles, which is not part of that ORC portion. That is a separate thing. Which is this. So
that is
the
what
nuisance abatement needs to be updated.
Yeah.
That one needs to be updated to
right,
reflect the current, and that's what I'm saying is this one updates it with the correct terminology, ORC references, everything. The dollar values are all different now. And then this one is the actual junk vehicle one, which was referenced in this other one, which actually isn't junk vehicles.
Oh, I get it. So the ORC changed their terminology of nuisance and their codes for nuisance. And so we are not following what's in our own zoning anymore.
Well, that
because this is out of date.
That one's out of date.
The number you're saying is out of
date
it references.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there that's out of date.
Why is it so many pages? Isn't our current one like one page?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying is there's a lot of stuff missing from there and a lot of things that are... I just bring this up because I've been going around taking pictures and looking at stuff, and we have a lot of stuff to clean up, and, you know, we can
clean it up with the ORC.
Right. Now, the way this works is, right, there's a whole process for how you get to it, but eventually it gets to the point where they don't have a say in it, and you remove the junk or remove the vehicles, and then there's a tax lien against the property.
Oh.
And that gives this ORC reference for both nuisances and junk motor vehicles gives the township trustees the authority to do that.
Okay.
That is what Chris was talking about when I had him out in June of last year about how we could go about doing that.
You talked to him about
I did a tour with him and showed him, and Poplin's was one of them.
This was the resolution you guys used for that one. So
the nuisance one that we use is one that Chris Englert wrote for us. The one that we used in the nuisance abatement. I mean, the properties that you just did.
Mm-hmm. No, he didn't do that. That other attorney did that.
He wrote the resolutions.
Oh, he wrote the resolutions for the adoption in our zoning code.
No. He wrote the resolutions that we name those properties as nuisance properties.
Oh.
right? There was two resolutions you had to do for each property. Mm-hmm. So he wrote those for us.
Mm-hmm. The resolution for the property?
Mm-hmm. For the actual, for actually declaring
for it. For declaring it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the reference was this resolution, which is outdated.
Mm-hmm. Right, I got you.
Yeah.
So yeah, we probably have a lot of those.
That was probably last year's then, or maybe the year before, because we've been...
No, he's talking about is, what's the number on it?
Van Aaron, Hurt, and Race on this one.
What's the number?
0507172.
So that's 2005.
Jeez.
So that's how old it is.
Yeah, it's... And, you know, it's like, if we're going to do resolutions about properties and we're referencing this, it's not correct.
Yeah, we should fix it, definitely.
And what I'm saying is, if you're going to reference junk vehicles, that has to be separate, because it's a separate portion of the ORC.
Yes, yes, understand.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to say junk vehicles does not mean junk, other junk, right?
That's correct.
That's only
junk
vehicles
is very specific. It's the vehicle itself.
Right.
Nuisance property could
else.
Be everything else, yeah. Including tall grass and all that.
So I'm with you on updating, but so the reason I'm asking why it's so long is because usually, so are those all whereases or
mm-hmm.
mostly? Because all we really need to do is reference the ORC.
Okay.
And then if something changes, we don't have an out-of-date resolution.
Well, that would take all of this out.
We take out,
right.
just do that.
And that's why I was asking if we're just repeating the ORC, and then if the ORC changes
mm-hmm.
wording in there, then do we have to go
yeah.
back and fix it?
And I'm fine with all that.
So,
I'm just saying, I just got these together to bring it up here so that you guys...
So we just need to change the reference to the code that the ORC is and our resolution.
Right, and just, you know, you just put
and
some
then,
stuff in flowery stuff to say our intention is to follow the ORC, blah, 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 and then when you say resolve, the resolve part is the resolve part, right? That's what your legal part is.
So, but we really can't do anything with all the properties we've identified until we change this.
Well, what we're doing now is we're sending them letters and asking them to clean up and then telling them we're going to pursue legal action if you don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is the ORC gives you the authority, the three of us, to declare a junk vehicle or a nuisance property and then to have that cleaned up at that owner's expense and then the expense placed against their tax on the property.
I'm for that.
But
that
we don't even have to have a resolution. If the ORC grants us that authority, we can do it against the ORC. The reason we write resolutions like the cannabis one, for instance,
mm-hmm.
that we wrote, that's because the ORC gives us the authority to implement the policy of whether or not we want to have a dispensary in the township or if we want to limit it. It doesn't say you can only have zero, right? If it said you can only have zero, then you just reference the ORC or you don't even have to write a resolution.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I guess, so then why do we have this resolution for the nuisance property that they did in 05?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what
and
was
if
in
we're,
there at that
and if
time.
We're going to make the junk vehicle one, like if we're gonna say you have to have a hearing or we're gonna change it from 10 days to 30 days or whatever.
Right, then we have to have a resolution.
Then we need to have something.
And that
yeah.
might be why that resolution, I don't know, in comparison to what's out there then.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go back and see the history of the, I mean, we could probably find that ORC reference that's in there and
mm-hmm.
figure out why they did the resolution.
Right.
But if you're just following the ORC exactly, you don't have to have a resolution.
Well, but we do need a resolution to do what he wants to do. What I agree with that as well. I mean, I agree we need to clean up, but...
I'm with you too on that, but I just don't want to repeat everything the ORC has. Just like, you know, like the BZA, we don't write in what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do
mm-hmm.
as part of it, right? We write the how we want to implement that.
Okay.
So we just don't need to repeat
it. So then, so are we going to send these letters out now then? So can we send them out?
No, I mean, the
and
only
then,
problem with that is if we're going to have a hearing, regardless of what the ORC says, then we need to do a resolution, right? Because right now it doesn't say you have to have a hearing. It says 10 days, owner requests a hearing. What I'm saying is when I went to the OTA class, they suggested that you make it practice that you have a hearing regardless.
So we just, at the next meeting, we just have a resolution that says that for all nuisance violations, we have agreed to have a hearing. At the request, if the owner requests it.
Well, that's currently how it's written in the ORC.
If the owner requests it, or can we just...
So when it's a nuisance property, though, we have to write those resolutions to declare it a nuisance.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the process. And that's during a public meeting that we pass those.
So then we don't need this to send out the letters to attach to the properties now.
To send out a violation letter?
Yes.
No.
No, we don't need that. Even though our number is out of date in our current zoning, our number's out of date. It doesn't match the ORC code.
It doesn't match the ORC.
We don't have to adopt a new number. We just have to change it in our system. We don't have to formally say...
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that even though our number's out of date, I think legally we're still good because the ORC still says that we have this authority
mm-hmm.
to declare a nuisance property. So I don't think it prevents us from declaring a nuisance property. I'm with you on fixing the thing. I just don't want to repeat everything the ORC has because look how many resolutions we've had to write
mm-hmm.
just to fix things like that.
Yep.
So I've been trying to write them more generic to not have that happen. So if the ORC changes some wording, then we don't have to go in and fix ours.
I just want us to get on the ball with these nuisance letters so that we can move forward with getting everything cleaned up.
So we have to write those two resolutions that Chris sent us to do that,
mm-hmm.
to declare a property a nuisance,
mm-hmm.
to take them to court.
Okay.
That's outside of this.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with that.
So, but Josh has worked on all these letters for the template for the letters so that Kathy can get them out, but we haven't done any of them yet.
Are these nuisance or violations?
Violation letters and nuisance letters.
Well, violation is different. You can just send a violation letter.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing required for that.
Yeah.
We don't have to
because
Cody was referencing what statute of the ORC they actually violated and our zoning code when we sent them a letter before in the past.
Yeah.
Like the guy over here that's got the camper on the street, you know, I mean.
Yeah, so like when I, that those violation letters, let's just junk vehicles. I reference the ORC and say, accumulate, you know, junk vehicle,
right.
ORC reference,
mm-hmm.
we have the authority to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is, do we want to have a resolution to work through how we're going to process that, or are we just okay with the way the ORC is written? Because, you know, when we get a zoning inspector and they go and do all this work, what's the outcome?
We should have it lined
up.
I'm okay with, I'm 100% okay with outlining that. The only thing I'm saying I don't like to do is repeat the entire ORC.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they change one word, then we're out of date. Right. I mean,
is that why you asked if they had a sample?
Yes.
Okay.
So just like, for instance, in our zoning code, we have the process to do BZA and ZC cases, right? One of the things in there says we have to send the newspapers an ad. We don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
But our zoning code still says we have to place a newspaper ad. So that's what I'm saying is that it forces us into the situation of now we're going to be updating things constantly because, as you know, the government writes these big bills where they change hundreds of those ORC things every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we would have to watch them.
Okay.
So it's just easier not to repeat the ORC. Put in our intention, and if you want to follow a process, that's fine. But once again, if the ORC changes, just like that example of the newspaper, if they change the process, then we would have to go fix ours.
We got a lot of stuff to fix anyway. I mean,
yeah,
lots of stuff to fix. So, I really would like to move forward with all these letters that we have. I've been collecting photos and I've driven through here and I get complaints daily on everything. So I would like to move forward with getting the letters out immediately and deal with the repercussions of if we have to move forward after 10 days because they haven't cleaned up or 15 days, whatever it is that you've given them, then we move forward. And if we have to bring it before the next trustee meeting or workshop meeting or whatever it is meeting we're going to be doing to get it cleared up, then that's what we need to do. But we need to move forward. And that's all I'm saying. I would like to move forward because I'm telling you, I've got calls just today, there are two emails from people on Wiley's, you know.
Yep.
So, I mean, we've got to move forward with these. There's a camper over here on 5th, or what is it? where are we at? Second, third, yeah. Fifth Street. Sitting on the road there. I mean, there's things like this that we have got to get a handle on. If we don't get a handle on our township, we're going to lose our township because it's...
Well, you can write the zoning violations without... I mean, these are independent of that. And the nuisance thing, like I said, you have to do the resolutions declaring it a nuisance and saying what kind of action you're going to take. Mm-hmm. The process, like I said, I'm all for putting that, even if we have to change it from time to time, which we're going to have to,
right.
Like the newspaper ad, it's still to have it good defined somewhere. Josh and I just had a conversation about rezoning with the variance, what comes first, because they're dependent on each other. So
yeah.
We flipped that recently, which is probably not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So we need a process for that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to say, in this case, this is how it should go.
Right. We need a process too for, they shouldn't come to the table if they don't have clean hands. I mean, you come to
right.
the table with violations and you're asking us to break the rules to modify your zoning. We shouldn't allow that. And I think the fee structure for all the stuff that you just found that we need to be sure that we're implementing that
that's
as well.
That's the next thing.
Oh, that's okay. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself.
I like the junk car one because the ORC has a very specific definition about what junk cars
yeah.
are, right?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
So
three
again,
or more model years older, apparently inoperable, and has a fair market value equal to the approximate value of scrap in it.
But I thought there was criteria like no engine, no wheels.
No,
nothing like that anymore.
And that was when I was in that OTA class. I mean, the majority of people in there are like, what happens if it has a license plate with registration? The lawyer's like, nope, doesn't matter. It has to be apparently inoperable.
Right.
That is what the ORC specifies. And so then
so
she had
the no engine thing.
Photos
yeah.
of all these vehicles
mm-hmm.
and, you know,
yeah,
it's like.
A little quiz.
Yeah,
yeah gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm all for those. I just, like I said, I think we should repeat what's necessary, but I mean, because if we had that before, we'd have to be changing it now anyhow.
Yeah.
Because it used to be, I think it used to be stricter.
Okay,
stricter.
So we're good on that then. Which brings me to, I don't need to talk about any of my stuff because you already took care of it.
No.
So what about your other topics that you wanted to include, like the...
I forget.
What were they? I forgot too.
We're 2.5 hours in.
Yeah.
Carrying them on earth.
We're not even halfway done.
Oh my God. My throat is getting sore.
I don't know.
Too much talking.
To work today. I'm tired.
And I'm tired too.
Let's see if I wrote those down.
I thought we took some of them out.
Well, you were just going to include it in this topic. It was like the non-compliance. That caveat that you had, the separate line that was, I didn't write them down.
I don't know, Julie, I don't want to.
Okay, we'll put it on the next one then if
I can't even remember
if you need
what it was.
It.
I don't have it in my notes.
Okay. Okay, so are we done with that one
yes.
for this trip then? Mm-hmm. Okay, next is adjusting the zoning fees. So, while I was in the zoning office, I happened to notice that the last line of our zoning fees is a nuisance abatement administrative fee
mm-hmm.
that we could probably be billing people for the nuisance properties. I don't know. I don't see anything in the zoning code of how to apply it. So what do we? So first of all, do we want to
right
change
there.
Any other
fees? $200 per the ORC for an administrative fee for nuisance abatement.
Okay, so that's the max. So do we want to change it to 200?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about these other fees?
Well, I think we should raise them all if we
can. Well, so one question.
And start charging them because we're not charging any of them.
Well, we're charging
a couple of them. So I should have said that.
So one thing is.
Wait a second. Hold on. That was from the old resolution. The new ORC. Reference administrative fee of $350 per property per abatement action, an hourly rate for the township labor and equipment at $175 per hour is what you're able to charge abatement work performed by the township or its agents.
So meaning if we send the road crew out there to clean
cut
something
the grass
up
or whatever
or cut the grass
mm-hmm.
So this is what you're able to charge per the ORC now.
So the administrative fee was the
$350 per property per abatement action. So if you have multiple abatements, I'm assuming.
Like you go out and you do one thing.
Yeah, and then 6 months you do another. Yeah. So and do we want to make it 350 or?
Yes.
Yeah. And then I put 175 per hour too.
Okay. For abatement work.
Sorry. And then we need to when we send these letters out, we need to include that as a possible charge if they don't clean up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
that they know that if we have to do it, this is what they could be charged. And okay. We have to move forward with it.
Okay, yeah, let me see if I had any notes on this.
And like, if you look here, I mean, this says that if you use a contractor, it tells you how to recover those fees. Fees limited, but not limited to rental fees, dumping fees, disposal fees, towing fees, storage fees.
Is this in the ORC?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the 599?
This is 505.87.
5.87, okay. Because there's a penalty one.
557905, is that what you said?
I think it was the last one, like 99. Something dot 9, 50 something dot 99. Mm. I don't know. I don't have the ORC memorized.
No, I don't either.
I think that was the
But that's
fee.
A good one.
That was the one that said you could charge up to $500 mm-hmm. a day. Okay, so the other fees on here. Do we want to change any of them, increase or decrease? And then my question is, what happens when somebody comes in with two variances on the same property? Do we charge them twice?
Yes.
We have not been.
Yes.
So... before you start saying yes. So my understanding was... in part, the fees were to offset the costs. So if we're only sending out one set of letters and they're only doing one meeting, then my question would be, maybe we should just charge them once.
Well, here's what I'm thinking, and I'm looking at this from a pure business perspective.
And one other thing, so let me just talk about the two variance thing, is in our text, it says you can only do one variance or conditional use per 12-month period. So that's another thing is, do we need to change that to allow them to group something together? Because like, think of the property here in Brandt where we had 9 variances. So you're going to charge them 9 times for that and then make them go 9 years to get it? It's, you know.
Yeah.
That's the question.
My opinion on it is like when, I think the variances and the other stuff, they should be like rare. It shouldn't be a common thing. And the only reason I say that is like, I mean, when we moved out here, we were looking for a property big enough to do what we wanted to do. I didn't move here and buy a small property and then say, I want to do all these things that you can do on a big property. Like, that's backwards. You know what I mean? Like, we have people who come in and they say, well, I want to do all these things now on my property. It's like, well, you that's not the property you bought, you know, and they request variances for everything. So
we charge $300 now for the variance.
I just think if it's more than one variance, there's a cost for the administrative side of it, and I know you say you want to cover the cost for it, but I think that there has to be a way to deter so much and cover the administrative side of it. I would like to see us pick up more in fees so that we offset the cost of hiring the administrative personnel that
it's
we have.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work as well, and it takes time. So if there's two variances, then they should be charged twice for it because it's twice the work. It may only be one meeting.
Well, that was my point, is it is not twice the work because you can send one letter. The notices go to the same group of people, right, because it's the same property address. So it's not twice the work,
yeah.
And that's kind of my point, is you're only going to send one letter, and you're going to list all 9 of those variances, as we use in our example.
But you have to look up the criteria by which those variances are either going to be approved or denied.
It's only one property. So the 500 feet from that property applies to all 9 of them, right?
But you're preparing the paperwork for the people who are going to interpret whether or not to pass the variance or grant the variance. You, when Josh, and I don't want to talk for you, but when you prepare information for the zoning boards here, since you're doing the zoning now, do you not look up how our zoning pertains to each variance, what's involved in it, and then put together an idea for that particular variance that they're asking you to put put before these this group of people.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you do that for 9 different properties, it's not the same as doing it for one property.
It's one property, 9 different variances.
For 9 different, that's what I meant. Well, I'm sorry, so, I said it asked backwards. But if you do it for 9 different variances for one property, you're still looking up those 9 individual circumstances and finding the codes that either speak for it or speak against it. Okay. And to me, it's more work, and
so
it should be.
So why can't
for.
We always do like?
That's what I think.
If so the variance currently is 300, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that's under Board of Zoning Appeals.
So why not 300 for the first, 200 for the second, 100 for the third, or something like that? Like some kind of step where
like a buy one get one off. Mm-hmm.
But you it shouldn't be free because it is.
I get what both of you are saying. Mm-hmm. Like I agree, it's the same property. If you have multiple variances, though, it's also more complex. It could be more complex, depending on, you know what I mean? Because it's like, well, if you're asking for this, but you're also asking for this, and this thing over here impacts this thing, so then how do I square all of these different requests that you're asking? I can't think of a good example.
But that's the job of the board, right?
He has to present that.
I mean just getting all the information together.
Yeah, you have to get the information together for the board, don't you? I mean that's what we did. That's what Marty did when we were doing the zoning. We got the information together and made a recommendation.
Yeah. Well, you don't make a recommendation.
Well, you don't. Well, you give them what's there. You say.
Yeah, you give them what's there.
Yeah, you give them what's there.
And
then they say yay or nay, and then we move forward.
I'm not for it just being one flat fee. Maybe
So the other thing we don't pay anymore is that newspaper ad, which was a significant cost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now we just post them on the website, which is, you know, a few minutes.
But here's my thinking, though. You know, that's going to offset some of the costs for Kathy if she starts to do them, or whoever we have, you know, as our zoning person.
And I'm all for that. I'm just I don't want to rape the township either. I mean, I want to have a reasonable.
But every place else will do the same. They will charge you every fee that's possible to be charged. If you're doing more than one variance, you're going to pay an extra cost for it. If you're allowed to do it more than.
Well,
one
do you
variance.
Want to do something like the step down?
I. That's fine with me.
What if you did a step down, but not to exceed a dollar amount? Because like your 9 variance person, that'd have been $1,100.
Well, and we didn't charge them.
That was because we were cleaning up.
Because we wanted to get them in compliance.
Yeah,
so
we were cleaning up a legacy property, a spot zoning property, which there's a lot of those around.
Just a suggestion.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, so you can do...
Well, so we could do 300, 200, 100, and then if you have more than 3, mm-hmm. the rest are free.
Mm-hmm.
And that sets the... Mm-hmm. What kind of limit were you thinking?
It's you guys' deal.
That's $600 still.
Yeah. Well, I'm not preparing the paperwork anymore. You are, Josh. What's your feeling?
Do we know what other townships are charging?
No.
Mm-mm.
I did not do any research.
Maybe we should figure that out.
Or what does Miami County charge for stuff?
Don't know that.
I know.
I did not do any
research.
I think
I'd have that on top of my head because I've looked at a few of them, but I don't.
I just don't see why we can't do the step down, like you said, and be done. We'll do step down because at that point, at the third one, you're talking roughly $500.
So 300, 200, and then they're free.
Yeah, yeah.
That puts a $500 max.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's.
Yes,
sounds like a lot.
The 9 variance one, was it, like, did they come to you and ask for all 9 of these, or did you see something and then it caused you to see that this needs to be this way and then this needs to be this way and this needs to be
so
this way.
this is kind of a Brandt thing that most of the properties are zoned I-1.
Mm-hmm.
They're also a lot of the houses are built across 2 lots which are 0.23 acres each, which is very common.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all like this, but this is just a common thing, right? they have a house on them. They're I-1. It's all grandfathered in. So now they sell that property. Well, the person can't get a loan because it's industrial. It's a business property. So it needs to be converted to R1 AAA. So now as soon as you go to convert it, you have to be in compliance with everything. Well, you know, in Brandt, the setbacks don't match. The front end, you know, the size of the house is smaller than 1,500 feet. It spans a property line. The garage is sitting on the edge of the property. You know, on and on and on. So I can't remember what all those were.
Basically, the owner's asking for one kind of variance, and then they're getting slammed with seven others.
They're asking for a rezoning, but to come in compliance.
Yes.
So
that's why we had to do it. It wasn't that there was something wrong with the property because it had always been used as a residence. It was the mere fact that the zoning on it was not conducive to what the house was being used for.
Right.
So. We had to, in order to clean up that part of it, you had to clean up every aspect of it, and that's why it took so much. This is the same.
Yeah, it turns out we don't have to do that.
I was going to say that could be something that could be considered also. You know, I mean, like if I come to you and I said I want a variance on my property, and I want this variance for this and this variance for that and this variance for that. Well, now I'm asking for three variances. I should probably be charged for
and
that.
And that's
right.
But if I come to you because I'm trying to sell my house and now it needs to be rezoned somehow and you find 10 other things you need to change, I didn't ask for that.
Well,
but that's
it doesn't
why
matter.
We did it. That's why we did the
we waived it
because it was a property that we had already identified.
Right.
So we did waive it. And we've done that for three properties so far since I've been here.
Well, I'm okay with the 3-2.
Yeah,
I'm
looking at some other ones on here. And so the ORC says, you know, so the whole point of the fees are to defer costs,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exactly. That's
so
what I'm
like
saying.
I mean, the proper way to do it, I think, is to figure out what are our costs.
Well,
then,
we're working on that. So they never track zoning separately.
Yeah.
And we're probably, this year would be the first year where probably everything zoning is going to get charged zoning. And when I say everything, I still don't mean everything because they use the same supply cabinet that everybody else uses.
Mm-hmm.
But we're charging stamps to them. And I did charge,
Kathy's pay is being charged to them too.
Yeah, so I think
the zoning.
I mean, we can do stuff with this. I just think that's probably know you know that that's
we're,
the intent.
Yeah, we're trying to get there. I've been asking that question.
So what are you
them.
Finding there?
Well, that's what the ORC said. But then I was looking at some other townships. Some of them do it like for new construction. It's a minimum, and then like 7 cents per square foot.
Yeah.
So it's like based on the size, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's another part of it is we could say, you know, a minimum of $200 and then 7 cents per square foot. I think there are all different ways we could do it. And I mean, in some ways that kind of makes sense because the larger and more complex the structure is, the more is required possibly to look at. So that's probably why they have it that way.
Well, but we don't do our...
We don't.
So that wouldn't be offsetting any cost. Well,
we kind of have it. Do we have that for signs? Yeah.
Yeah, we do have it for signs.
$1 per square foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just go down the list and see. So an amendment, so this is a zoning text change, a rezoning, $400.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah.
Bump it to 5?
Yeah.
Josh?
What, for a zoning text amendment, what are we doing? We have a meeting, right?
Mm-hmm. We have multiple meetings.
Yeah.
We have to mail everything out, sometimes twice.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get that down to once because if we can plan, now that we've moved the meetings, we've got the 10 to 30 days met better.
Somebody has to physically drive to the location, right? And place
the sign.
Right.
And... we have to post it,
mm-hmm.
and we have two meetings. We have the zoning commission meeting and then the
trustee
meeting, both of which the zoning inspector or director, whoever it is, should be at.
Mm-hmm.
$400, $500 seems pretty cheap for that.
Mm, absolutely.
You want to be more than $500?
No, I'm just saying. Break out what actually goes into
it. As far as time.
Yeah, and as the big one is the labor cost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's meetings, all the prep.
You're running around.
Oh. You want to be more than?
600. This is 600. No?
I don't mind. So how long do you think, I mean, we're gonna try to keep track of the cost for this year, right? I mean, we won't have a good idea of what these costs truly are until the end of the year, really. And even after that, you only have it.
Well,
for
you're just now
beyond.
Starting to do it too, so you're.
No, well, we've been moving things over
little by little.
Yeah.
This year, though, we've got Lorna's.
Yeah.
Salary and Kathy's salary is the big change in there.
And stamps, which was a huge cost.
Stamps.
The newspaper ad never got billed to that, but we don't do that anymore.
Right.
Okay.
And then supplies, like the labels that I just ordered, I'm going to put those in the zoning bucket now, which they didn't use. They just went into the general administrative bucket before.
I know this is something that you've been wanting to do for a while. Would you be opposed to waiting to do this until... The only reason I say that is we could pull the number of cases we've had over the past couple of years, do an average, figure out how many of each one of these we've done, come up with a rough figure of what it costs to mail, what it costs to go, you know what I mean? And then we could try to figure this out.
Okay, I'm fine with that. The reason we put it on here was basically for that last number to...
The nuisance one?
To talk about, yeah, billing that and if we wanted to raise it.
I'm
also,
all for changing that today because the ORC specifically says this is what we can charge.
Okay,
the rest of it can stay the same.
So we have to write a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to write a resolution,
yeah.
And then a month we're going to write another one,
yeah.
That doesn't reflect well.
Well, I mean, how many of those nuisance abatement fees are we recovering today?
No, well, I mean, we can wait a month. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to come to the next meeting with a proposal?
Yeah, I will.
That worked out well. So here's another question, though, before we leave this. So one thing I was wondering was, should we have a permit, and I didn't look, so I don't know if we're allowed ORC-wise, there's got to be some research done, but have a permit for a home occupation.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I knew you'd say that.
Yes.
I'm sure Terry would say yes to that. Are you needing to go?
No, I'm staying.
Just
on permanent.
Stand. I mean,
yes.
You guys like to know where the businesses are, so
especially homeless.
We're losing control of home occupations,
mm-hmm.
And it's very inconsistent in the zoning text, but so I put an item in there to talk about this of, do we want to have a permit for it, and is it already covered?
No.
I think it's already covered. Hold on. I think it's already covered in our zoning text under this change of use. Because the change of use is described as a building or partial. So if you're changing some room in your house to be a home occupation, then that would be a change of use.
But it can only be for like 200 and, is it 250 square feet?
200.
Yeah, 200. Okay, so that's for home-based businesses. But these people are doing far more than,
right.
than
200. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. If we make them come to us, then we'll have a list of all these. The fire department will have it, and then we will have it.
Define home-based business.
It's supposed to be anything you can do in the 200 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have stuff stored on your property. You can't have another outside building. And
there's a lot.
Our
of that.
Zoning tax doesn't. It's not consistent, but it even says of habitable space. The space you live in.
Mm-hmm.
I can never say that word. It has to be 200 square feet in the house, yes. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be 200 square feet in the barn.
It's like they do the babysitting at home. No,
they run a tax business out of an office.
Yeah.
Or they're buying and selling online. They don't have any product on the property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything that you can do in that 200 square feet, which is probably mostly computer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I'm just going to throw this out here to you.
Okay.
If I'm not storing it on my property, if it's a home-based business that... Nothing is coming in and out of my house, but I'm sitting in a room working on a computer. I'm not coming to you and telling you that.
And that's fine.
You're not going to know because you're not.
And that's
not
fine. But
house.
Now you want a sign out in front saying that you're running a tax business out of your house.
I'm not going to put a sign out there.
And that's fine. If you don't, then you're good to go. But if you want a sign, you know, you put that sign out there in the front yard saying, I'm selling muffins.
Yep. I
you
agree
know,
with that.
This is the problem that we're running into is now everybody thinks
the
they can do everything because the guy down the street does it.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'm with you.
So, yeah, I mean.
I was just saying, here's the deal.
Yeah, if you're doing it yourself, you're right.
Nobody's going to know what I'm doing inside my house unless the township trustees want to walk to my house, go inside, and search it.
We're not doing that.
No, we're not. I can't even pull in somebody's driveway.
If you're talking daycare, they have to do other things. They have
right.
to
right.
mistake.
Yeah. Or if the, any kind of client, if you have clients coming to your house, yeah. you know, it's going to be different than... I get your part, but yeah. so for instance, we just got a request not too long ago. The girl wanted to sell automobiles, and she wanted to have two sitting in the barn. She was going to do it all online, buy them, sell them, you know, flip them.
Right.
Can't do that because.
Can she flip it and take it someplace else?
She can, if she rents, and that's exactly what I told her. I said, you go down to Brandt, rent yourself a storage unit, put those two cars in there, you're good to go. Because mm-hmm. now you can run it out of your 200 square feet. Aside from the fact there's more ORC things with selling automobiles,
right.
but
or
just
the,
an example.
Yeah,
right?
Or the guy down the road here on 40 that's dumps a load of gravel in his front yard, and now he's working on cars in the front yard with the, no walls. He's just
I get it now. I was just thinking, so. You know, what about the people that have a craft business and take it all to a fair?
That's
and,
fine.
I don't think that's what we're looking for. I think what we're looking for...
I mean, people
for,
are going to be shifty.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put that
no
out
kidding.
There. People's going to be shifty and...
They're not even shifty anymore. They're just blatant. I'm going to do what I want despite what you say.
So
my question is...
So what's the fee going to be?
Can we add a home occupation fee
mm-hmm.
or home occupation permit?
Mm-hmm.
Does it fall under new construction? Well, it doesn't fall under new construction. I guess it would be the zoning part.
Mm-hmm.
Miscellaneous.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Okay. Miscellaneous.
Yeah, maybe it falls under there. And something
well,
I
well, it's the top one's zoning.
Okay.
I don't know.
Do you have to put criteria on it? Like, do you have to...
We have definitions in the zoning code that describes the 200 feet and must be in the habitable. I feel like I'm on Liberty Biberty commercial.
So, like, when Cox's over here had the dollhouse, do you remember that?
Yeah, that was that was Dave's parents' hardware store years ago.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but that's zoned differently,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But if it would have been, like, just a regular house
mm-hmm.
on my property, she couldn't have run that dollhouse out of there.
No.
Not supposed to.
Mm-mm. Gotcha.
I don't like the built without permit one, and the way it's set up, and the reason I say that is if I build an addition on my house today, and I come in here and file it with you, it's going to cost me $200. If I don't, and then you come to me and say, well, you didn't build that without a permit. What, I just pay the $100, or do I have to pay the $200 too?
I say
you have to pay both.
I think we should.
I think that build without a permit should be $1,000, because there should be a penalty.
Yeah.
So.
They're a big enough one so that if you...
Because that built without permit requires somebody to do research to find that something was built without a permit. Unless you just happen to get a phone call or whatever. But you're still going to have to go out and do research and everything
right.
else. So that's time and money. I mean, $100 is not anything.
Okay.
Especially for somebody who didn't do what they were supposed to do in the first place.
And they tried.
So what do you want to make it? You want to make it $1,000?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying. That's my
feeling.
Should
be a big enough one so that it hurts a little bit.
Do you want me to look at that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll come back.
I,
to you.
Okay.
What does the county do for something like?
And that? What about the home occupation?
The
do you want to look at that, or do you want
to
put a number on that today?
Make you tear it down, but they don't. They make you get into compliance. They don't. It's like the building on Gibson that I went out on and I put that letter on. He didn't have a permit from them or us. And then, according to Rob England at first, and then he went back and found out that the builder had applied for the permit through the county, which they issue, but they bypassed us altogether and they weren't allowed to do that. So they had to come in and we just charged them $100 for it.
But we could, in theory, go through the court process
mm-hmm.
and make them tear it down.
Make them tear it down, yeah.
The township can do that if they violate yours. But the build without permit, I'm with you that it's more of a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we can say penalty there. I'm sure it may not say penalty
mm-hmm.
for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we should make it clear.
Well, these are all cost recoupment.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and the home occupation, I think that should be pretty cheap
mm-hmm.
because...
$50, whatever.
I mean, we just want to know about it, but, you know.
We don't make any money off of that. I mean, we don't make any, we have no business tax here in this township. So
you want to make that 50?
So if it's a registration fee that you're looking for, which is really what you're looking for, is a registration fee, not a permit, because you don't need a permit to operate.
I want it to be like a zoning certificate.
A certificate, mm-hmm. Yeah. And make it renewable. You know, that's the other thing. You can make it renewable so that you know what they're doing and when they're doing it, you know? They change all the time. So make it every
Josh,
year or 2 years.
Josh, you're going to make a recommendation on that?
I'm writing it down.
Okay. Yep.
Make it renewable. You have to have it renewed.
I'll look and see.
Things happen. Okay, so we issue them a permit this year, and next year, you know, traffic gets bad or something, then you don't want them putting their little stand out in the front yard anymore, selling their cupcakes. I'm over that. Okay. Everywhere I look, there's a cake shack.
So, is it something we can deny them then? I mean,
based on location, I would think we should be able to, depending upon what they're doing.
That's a little bit different than what I was suggesting. I was just suggesting they tell us if they violate it, we can shut it, you know, violate the zoning rules, we can shut it down. But I wasn't suggesting not giving them a permit. Like, we don't really do that with the other zoning certificates, right? Whether you're building accessory building, that one.
I don't know. I guess not, but you at least you'll know where it's at, and they'll come in and
like pools, barns, sheds, those things, we don't.
Mm-mm.
I mean, if they're willing to meet the zoning, then we give it to them.
I just think
I think we would have to make that a conditional use or something in order to be able to deny it, and then it wouldn't be yearly.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe Josh can research that.
Josh, we got a lot of work for you. I don't know. I just think that with these new little cake thingies that's going up all over the place, you know, we should have some control over where they're allowed to be and where they're not allowed to be, because, you know, you have people stopping along the road trying to buy cupcakes or whatever, and it might be a dangerous situation for where they're stopping at.
Yep.
You know?
And they back out onto the highways, which they're not allowed to do.
Right. So I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
So also, what is a change of use? What does that mean? I couldn't find a definition.
Change of use?
Yeah, we got $150 for a change of use, but what does that mean?
I'm not sure.
It's not rezoning because we have amendment at the top.
I don't know. Now I'm sucked into looking at what other townships are doing.
Yeah, you're going to have to do that on your own, Tom.
Yeah. Okay, so I will come up with something.
Okay.
I mean, like, they have a return check fee on one of them. Do we ever have return checks?
I don't know. Not that I can ever remember.
Okay.
In the 2 years I've been
here.
We've never gotten one back since I've been here.
Well,
in the last
2 years. Have we, Rhonda? Not since we've been here, have we?
A lot of them pay their zoning in cash.
Cash, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
because
we're so
lately,
cheap.
Though. Not as many lately.
I haven't seen anything come back. I mean, that would definitely show up on the bank rec, because it would...
Okay, so Josh will make recommendations.
Yep.
All right, let me write the notes down. And then we can move on. Okay, the next thing on the new business is the fire... Oh, this is why Terry had to stick around.
Sorry,
Terry. Is the 4.9 mil levy expires in 2026, which you can see there. And that's the tax year.
Mm-hmm.
So... collection for that, of course, starts in 2027.
Mm-hmm.
So we probably need to start looking at putting that on the ballot. And then are we going to leave it the same? Are we going to leave it the 4.9 and just renew it?
I thought Ben said that it needed to be increased.
He wanted to make it like 8 something to... And then, I don't know, I think we'd have to talk more about that. And probably an executive session about if we want to, because that involves pay. As I recall, raising it to 8 still did not mean much pay for the full-time people.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty low. So do you want to come back with a recommendation?
Yes.
Like put your numbers together and
yeah.
figure out what you want to, and maybe have some alternatives. Because, you know, right now, this is not the climate to be upping things either, because the property tax thing is...
When does this expire?
26.
Like, when in 26? I mean...
It's May, isn't it?
I don't think it'd be the end of the year.
I don't remember exactly.
Okay.
Because it's a tax year expiration, so...
Okay.
And then...
It's May they revote, though.
So we would collect for that in 2027 for 2026. And if we don't pass it by...
Okay.
Yeah, we should pass it this year.
So it needs to get on the ballot this year?
Yeah, and Rhonda has to do some work.
And it costs more depending on when it's on the ballot, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I know that that changes depending on which...
I think it depends how many other people have stuff on the ballot, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's spread across. I don't remember that, but I know for the school board, we got some knowledge on that. But it was... There was some division of... Across the things that were on the ballot.
Yeah, I think it's when it's the ones that aren't, like, the non-general, all the ones that are... Right. Then it costs a lot more.
Right.
So, if we wouldn't be able to do... The May ballot, because we're too late.
No, not May, but we can do the November.
November. We would do November.
And I don't know what the special ballot is. Like I said, I just heard today that there's going to be one on May 5th. And I don't know what's on it, because I didn't...
For, like, everybody in the United States?
I don't know. I just heard there... No, well, in Ohio. I don't know if it's... I don't know what it is. But there's going to be a special election or special ballot. I don't know if it's an issue... I just didn't have time to research it today. Today was kind of hectic. So, okay, so Tara, you'll come back with the thing on that. Rhonda, you're going to have to do some research. The last one we passed, I know we passed two resolutions, that we had to pass a resolution like to state our intent, and then you have to work with somebody, probably up in Angie's office, to get the right text.
Okay.
And then we pass another resolution for that, and probably for the amount. I don't remember what the two were, but I know we passed two.
I think I read something about, two, we can use the general fund to offset some of the fire levy, or some of the fire expense as well.
You can, but do you want to do that?
I don't necessarily want to go after an eight mil levy.
No, but then it's misleading to the public to think that they're getting all that on... this millage, right? And then you're cutting to other things that come from that budget. I mean, I'm not saying don't. I'm just saying there's pros and cons to everything. But I mean, and we don't really have that to spare, do we? And I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
well, it's 3.8 mil is the other one. If we take three or four out of there, or more than three, I mean, it's like 3.8.
Mm-hmm.
So, although I think we do get more money for that right now because we replaced it
mm-hmm.
a couple of years ago.
Well, we did
2023.
Yeah, we did it on new evaluation.
Yeah, that's the replacement, and there's no replacement anymore. You can't do a replacement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was in the big bill, the budget bill this year. You can renew it, or you can kill it and start a new one.
So this
to get more money to get the reevaluation, the new evaluation.
But this levy in 26 comes up for the fire, and then next year we have 3.8 coming up.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so Terry's going to make a recommendation, maybe with options. And then... if you want to leave, I'm okay with it. But I did want to ask you one thing is, when you do your numbers, can you do some fire engine things in there? Because I know you guys wanted to, I mean, eventually you're going to need a new fire engine. When you want to do that, and when will that be, like, you know, because you always said you save a little bit for that every year. Like, I know, you know, when we raise the salaries, it cuts into that savings. So what are we doing for fire engine and any other new big equipment that you might see on the horizon? Like how we're going to get to those as well.
I know one thing that we are going to have to look at, not urgently, but a little quicker than we want to, is a stack vehicle. The one, the white one's just, it's a 2016 and it's starting to wear down, so we're gonna have to replace that at some point.
Okay. But and that's the one that the person takes home? No, that's the pickup.
The one that we typically take home is now our secondary response vehicle. The white one is, we've kind of taken it out of service. It's not completely out of service, but we're not using it as much. So it's gonna have to come up for.
And was that the truck?
No, the white vehicle.
The white
SUV.
But we have a truck too, though.
We do have a truck, yes.
And what is that used for?
Right now, it's our chase vehicle.
What's a chase vehicle?
So instead of sending an engine out to put a bunch of miles on a vehicle that doesn't need mileage on it, and some of the driveways, as you well know, are very long, very tight, and you don't want to try and squeeze an engine down it to cause damage to that vehicle. So we'll chase with extra people in the pickup truck, so that way, if they need multiple hands, if you know, let's just take a larger person, for instance, and they're on the ground.
Gotcha.
It may take all four of us to get that person up as opposed to just two.
Right. So you don't, that doesn't go home with anybody. That's not the one that goes home. Okay.
So nothing goes home with anybody right now.
I take the white vehicle home when I
when you
respond
when you go
from home.
Okay.
Like Thursday night, I will have it at home with me.
Okay.
So
what's the, is this a special vehicle that has this new staff vehicle? Is it special equipment? Like, what's the cost? The estimated cost is what I'm getting at.
The estimate of the, I would have to look and see, because we can do a lot of it on state bid just to get the vehicle.
Okay.
The lighting package and lettering would be the additional cost on that.
Okay. But no special life-saving stuff inside, or?
We have all that stuff. It would just be transferred from that white vehicle to that vehicle.
Okay, gotcha. Okay,
like
that's good
packs,
news.
Our light packs, our equipment. That's in there.
Okay.
All of that stuff would move from that vehicle to that one.
Okay, so maybe you can include that in the numbers that you're.
Yeah.
As a 2016? Okay.
Yeah, that was from, I'm almost sure, 16.
Okay. Is that all for. Did you have anything else that I didn't add to this section?
The only thing I was going to mention was Friday, we are going to do a mock accident.
Okay.
At the high school. It's for the prom accident. Mm. So we'll be at the high school. Just if you hear a helicopter overhead, it's us. At around 10 a.m.
Excellent.
So other than that, pending the weather. Right now, everything that I'm watching, we're about 42% rain. Mm. So.
Do you have a makeup day if you're not going to do that?
You got a makeup day?
There is not going to be a makeup day. It'll just be a one-time if.
Gotcha.
If it doesn't do it, it doesn't
If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But currently, right now, it is in coordination with Kettering Health. We all texted today, and everything is still on. So.
Okay. Excellent. That teaches them some life lessons.
Huh.
That teaches them some life lessons.
It's scary.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like.
I don't want to give away too much of the
scenario,
is multiple people involved. One person will be arrested.
Oh, Lordy.
Excellent.
I love it.
Excellent.
Poor kids.
Do they know they're
going to
be in?
I don't know who yet.
Is it the superintendent?
Wishful thinking, Julie.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, when I was in high school, some band came one time and sang, you know, we had the little thing in the afternoon for a couple hours, and she pulled the high school principal though and saying you're no good to him. And I mean, it was just hysterical. It's just, you know, for the high school students. It was
funny. Typically it's a student and it has to do with DUI.
Oh,
okay.
So,
okay.
It's the same thing that a lot of high schools do.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Road department and nothing else, right? Terry, you're done.
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. Road department at 9:10. Okay. Robert is retiring. We're going to talk about replacing him in executive session, but I just wanted to put that on the record. He has finally picked a date of June 30th. He has sent a letter. He's gone and signed up for retirement, so we know this is the real deal. So, was that?
Nothing.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Okay, so I just want to put that on the record. Mm-hmm. And then we already talked about the drainage. We're done with that. Fence at cemeteries to obscure extra dirt.
So Robert and I took a little tour because he was talking about putting up a 90-foot fence as an option. And I'm like, what? So, one thing, so first of all, the complaint that I got that started this whole fence thing was for West Charleston Cemetery, mm-hmm. because that dirt pile sits right next to the graves and that's in the
one,
corner.
That's the one that we had the complaint on last year as well.
Well, that was the guy. Mm-hmm. It was last year. We still haven't done anything. Mm-hmm. So one thing, though, is I'm not sure we need to do anything at the Bethel West mm-hmm. Cemetery. Mm-hmm. The dirt pile there is way in the back. Mm-hmm. If we wanted to put something up, I guess we could, but nobody's complained about that. It's mm-hmm. it's clear in the back. And if we're not going to sell any more plots there, it will always be way in the back because the rows and mm-hmm. pretty far away from it. So I don't know if we need to do anything there. I would vote no on that one. Mm-hmm. I'll just leave it like it is. At the West Charleston one, one thing that Robert kind of suggested was maybe putting bushes up because we started talking about, you know, because they have to maneuver the mm-hmm. Backhoe around whatever we put up.
Right.
So a tall fence is not really ideal. And also then you have to have gates on one side, you know, that will access the whole thing. So I said, well, what if we did a shorter fence? Because one thing he proposed was that we adopt the policy that the only dirt that would ever be there would be for a current grave that needed it. So what happens, right, is when they open the grave, they put some dirt there, mm-hmm. and then they add it back as it sells. Mm-hmm. So if they adopted that policy, and we're not selling any more plots there either, mm-hmm. so we're not talking probably more than one, maybe two graves worth of dirt on this pile, we would only need something that's relatively short, and it wouldn't be a big eyesore. But
that's also the disaster areas, and there's stuff that the debris keeps, that they keep in the back.
That would be Bethel West, mm-hmm. and that's the part that's way back. Mm-hmm. They're not going to keep any kind of branches or anything there. In fact, there was a branch there, and I'm like, well, what about the branches? And he said they would clean those. Part of that change would be to clean that up as they go, mm-hmm. only keep the minimal amount of dirt there, and then maybe plant some fast-growing, like those evergreen trees. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like one side, mm-hmm. and then they could still access it from the road that runs down that side. So what do you guys think about that?
That would work.
So we're going to tell him to buy some bushes and run them down the side.
I don't want him to do it. I'll go with him to pick out the Everybody Green
Giants.
Fast growing
ones.
Yeah, because he has no clue.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long is it like?
Well, he was the one that suggested it. And then we drove down, you know, like Ross Road has that one property that it just obscures the whole property from the road. Mm-hmm. And then we also went down,
I may need to plant some of those at my house.
Yeah, I have them.
Yeah.
I have them.
There are a lot of different varieties, and they don't all grow
the
same.
Okay, well then you pick them out, mm-hmm. and they can plant them. And then, you know, we'll probably have to replace them or take some back, because I don't know what the survival rate is, but every place we looked at had a couple that had been replaced.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've replaced mine. That's why I put so many out in the front. In the back, I only did one row. But the lady down the street from us, they never lost one.
Okay.
Never lost one.
So the other thing is, we went down Flick Road, because we went down Ross and then went down Flick. There was one house there that had them planted in the front yard, trying again to obscure their house, mm-hmm. but they were planted like staggered two mm-hmm. rows, and that was not good, because unless you're sitting square with it, you can see between them. Mm-hmm. So, and also I don't think we have that kind of room, because the graves are almost right next to that dirt pile. I mean, they are very close. In fact, pictures to show you.
So can't they move the dirt pile back some?
Let me show you. I did that wrong, I think. Dang, I was going to front these out. I forgot. And now I've taken 100 pictures since then, of course. Okay, here we go. So, that's West Charleston. I mean, that's Bethel West. Okay, so here's the... So this is the pile, and there's not much there right now, which is why this would probably work. Mm-hmm. This is the pile at West Charleston. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Robert acting silly. But I took that standing on the marker mm-hmm. at the side of the thing. So it is right there. Mm-hmm. So this you know, the graves run right along here. Mm-hmm. This is the side, and then this is the front. So there's not much room in there. I mean, literally, I'm standing on, there's like a little metal marker mm-hmm. in the ground, and I'm standing on that. Mm-hmm. So they would just have to run them down the side, and that's what I'm saying. The road comes here.
But you do know that if you put an Everbody in here and you put it out, they're going to spread this way. So if there's graves right in here, you're going to pretty soon...
They'd be right next to them. Mm-hmm. I mean,
they'd be more than next to them. They'd be overshadowing.
Well, this wouldn't need to come out this far either if we're keeping it down to a minimum amount of mm-hmm. extra dirt. And he said, I'm not sure I completely understand why there's extra dirt. Mm-hmm. Because he said they pile it back on the grave when they close it back mm-hmm. up.
And if you're not actually using that anymore. So
haul it down to West Bethel West. And he said they would do that too. I mean, all we have to do is tell them what to do, right? So mm-hmm. we make that our policy mm-hmm. and then cover up the one side.
Mm-hmm. How these graves that are right next to there that we're talking about, are any of these people, they have any living relatives still?
I think some of them weren't there yet. They were sold, but mm-hmm. not planted. I mean,
is it worth discussing with them and letting them know what we plan to do?
Only thing
they're not right on top of it, but
the only thing you can do is send them a letter. And because some of these people live out of state, like the one lady that thought her mother was buried where she's not buried because she doesn't have a headstone. she lives in Tennessee, has lived there for 15 years.
I mean, we can probably put 10 or 15 feet between that edge and the dirt pile. Yeah, if it's going to be minimum dirt.
For somebody to show up and be like, what the heck? What are you putting all these
Well, that's the other reason I was saying if we could get short ones, then it wouldn't be... It would kind of fit in the... excuse me. Because everything else there is just
green. Well, Everbody, after the first year, grows about 2 to 3 feet a year. So after
Are those the ones that become real tall, though? Mm-hmm. So are there any that stay short?
They're fast growing. The Everbidae are they're the fastest growing. But you can get some Taxus. The Taxus evergreens, they'll only grow like inches a year. So if you get them like 3 or 4 feet, that you know you might have 6 inches a year if you're lucky. You know, if you're lucky. And they stay green the whole time.
Right. So can we trim the tops off them?
Yeah, he can. And they're designed to be trimmed. So you could get them up to a certain level and we'll just keep them that way.
Okay. Well, maybe that's what we do then. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to be that many of them.
No. No, and they won't bush out this way either, whereas the Everbody will pull all the way out, you know.
Okay. Well, maybe that would be better then.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to...
So I'll look about it.
So you're going to Lowe's.
I have a nursery license, so I can go over to Scar if I have a nursery license.
And for now, we're not going to do anything for Bethel West.
I guess not.
Well, do you want to?
Well, the only thing I wanted to do was put that white fence up straight across that one area, but... He's booked me every step of the way.
Well, I don't like that either. I mean, that's the 90 feet of fence.
It's not going to be 90 feet of fence to cover that one area there. You're talking maybe two sections of six foot white vinyl. I mean, and that's only 7 feet wide. So you're not talking more than 21, 22 feet.
So you're not saying go across the whole back?
No, that's not ever what I said to him. I said only block off the area that you were at.
So they have to have a way to get to that dirt pile, though.
Yeah, but see, if, okay, Julie, I'm just going to draw here. Okay, the dirt pile is right here, okay? Yep. All I said was put two sections of fence right here. He could still go all the way back there. It's blocked from the road here.
Right, so the drive, though, comes up here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now if they go off this grab, well, it actually is here next mm-hmm. to the pile, right? Mm-hmm. And it goes all the way back here somewhere, he mm-hmm. said. This is graveled. Even though the dirt pile kind of mm-hmm. runs right next to it or into it. So if you put a fence up, I mean, where is the fence that it's going to be on this side?
It would be on this side here, two sections is what I said. Or he could even have, if he was talking about that, he could have gone two sections this way and then still come around the back. So it would still be blocked off three sides.
So here's that pile. Mm-hmm. I can do it this way. So where did that come from? See, excuse me.
See,
so
what I was saying was you just come right across here and then right here. You only need two sections of fence.
So the road, though, is right along here, right? That's the goes next to it. So if once they go off that road with the equipment, it's going to sink and make tracks.
They can push this crap with the loader all the way over to here and still go to the road. And that's the problem. They've got it all out here instead of pushed back up against where that
Well, this they're going to get rid of. The brush mm-hmm. can go. Mm-hmm. But this, and there's some concrete there. I told him they need to get rid of that, mm-hmm. like old headstone footers and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it needs to be cleaned up.
Yep.
And it goes around, like, these trees are on top of the dirt, too.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these, the bushes are growing on top of the mm-hmm. dirt pile. This is a pretty good-sized dirt pile mm-hmm. here. It doesn't look that big, but you start walking around behind it.
But that was the one I thought he was talking about, but not the one over
But
at
the
West
markers,
Charleston.
Like, the nearest grave is, like, way far away mm-hmm. that way.
Mm-hmm.
So do we need something there?
No, you don't, but it would be nice if you just cleaned it up, but he...
Well, that's a different problem. We can get them to do that.
Okay.
Right.
They need to clean it up.
Okay, so let's work on cleaning up first mm-hmm. and then look at it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I told him, he needs to get rid of that concrete and stuff mm-hmm. that's in there. And also, we talked about...
He said before they offered that dirt as fill dirt to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the problem was it got out of control because people would say... He said it wasn't... People asked for the dirt, like people wanted the dirt, which helped them get rid of it,
mm-hmm.
but then they started wanting it on their schedule. You know, bring it to me today and bring me five trucks today.
Mm-hmm.
So he said it kind of got to be where it's mm-hmm. like, okay, I can't do it today mm-hmm. because, you know, it's during mowing season and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another option that we could offer.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, did anybody ever complain about the quality of it because mm-hmm. it has maybe old branches mm-hmm. and roots and stuff in it? I don't know what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just a mound of dirt. It had some other stuff. And he said, no, nobody ever complained.
Well, he can use it as fill dirt for somebody if they want it. But, I mean, again, we're not selling any more parcels, but we still will be interning there still for quite a while.
Yeah.
Because we have lots that have sold there.
Right, but those weren't even close to that dirt. So, and nobody's, I mean... Until somebody complains, maybe. Or maybe we can clean it up and then take a look again. I just worry that putting the fence up, now they have to have a way around it.
Okay.
And if they have to go out into the mm-hmm. grass and it's wet, which a lot of times that is, he said, then what happens with the path? Because he'd be off that gravel road. Okay, what's next? Fence at cemeteries. Crack ceiling, the township offices...
crack ceiling.
This parking lot?
Yeah, I did call A to Z, and he was out here, but he has not sent me the estimate for it.
Okay.
I was hoping to have it today, but I like I said, I haven't heard from him. I know he was out here Friday of last week.
Are we calling more than one?
I'm just wanting to see what it's going to cost, and then I'm going to really figure out exactly, you know, how much it is and look around for four or five different contractors maybe.
So in your little package there, I printed the, I don't know any of these.
Pavement analysis?
Yeah.
Yes, I printed the pavement analysis.
Mm-hmm.
yes, the pavement analysis. Okay, so we're past all these already. So if you wanted to take a look and see if there's any other, it's two pages. Yeah, I didn't do it up front and back, so just so it'd be easier to see, except for my little one, which you can't read. I printed the little one, and I'm like, holy smokes.
I read this before.
So maybe you look at some of these red ones and see if there's anything that we might want to do there too, because that wouldn't fall under the county. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd have to hire somebody. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not just the red ones. Maybe there's some other crack seal that needs to be done or could be done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this is out on the server.
Mm-hmm.
But I printed them for you. So you'll get back to us next time.
I'll see what he says. I mean,
I'm not necessarily wanting to do anything.
See, crack seal is different than seal coating. The crack seal I could have done through the county. Seal coating is what we're spraying down, the tar. I can't think. I'm tired. On the parking lot out here, and they'll do that. But the crack seal is that heavy duty, you know, where the county comes through and they do that. I think that they might have done that. I'm gonna call Brett or Sandy in the morning and see about that. Lisa Drive. See, this is all over in White. Listen, well, Shoyer's not. Man's not. This is all here in Brandt. Gibson's over there, Singer, Staley. We did part of, I think,
well, the
Staley
idea is to do some
year.
Of these right so that we're not paving
everything.
It makes them last longer.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we even pick something in the orange area.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the red ones are too far gone. I don't
mm-hmm.
know. But maybe we pick something there and try to extend the life. And he had some estimated costs in here. Per square yard. Now these are from last year.
Last year, I know.
Who knows what they'll be now? But
there's a couple of the orange and red that are less than 10,000.
Mm-hmm. Estimated.
Yeah.
And they could be 20 by now,
mm-hmm.
right? But, I mean, something to think about that maybe we should invest something more than just paying them.
Yeah.
Letting them get to the point where, you know.
So we have to do something different.
Okay, yeah. So
I'll check on
I'll put that on there again next time and you can maybe have a recommendation.
Yeah, my biggest thing was the parking lots here, because we haven't done those. We haven't done this parking lot and the parking lot over at the township building that hasn't been sealed since
the township building.
Yeah, the township building and all the parking lots around here and the road building and so forth. That Robert said I think it's 1999. He said,
"Wow, that's
so
sooner than some of the roads."
Yeah,
though.
So that was, and I didn't want to take a chance on losing. Start, you know, where we get the big holes here don't get it sealed up quick, it will. So that was my plan.
Well, I was just saying
in addition to that, maybe you want to do a couple
little things. Maybe it depends on what it costs to do that, because mm-hmm.
I don't know, and that's why I was a little bit concerned, because, you know, this is a big area.
Yep.
A big parking lot there, a big parking lot here. It's a big area. So I can't, I mean, I know what it costs me to do my Dalton Road property, and it was a big area, and it was thousands of dollars to do that. So
okay, next up then, done with that. Next up is the fiscal office. So in your package you have healthcare options for dental, vision, life, short-term disability, what it's costing us now. Rhonda, you said you might have a recommendation.
I don't know that I have a recommendation, but I noticed that with the United Healthcare life insurance that we have, that they offer dental and vision.
Mm-hmm.
And seems to be a little cheaper, and from what I could tell quickly looking at it, mm-hmm. it seems to cover the same stuff. Same, like it's the same coverage, like. Your copays are the same. The amount that it covers and stuff seems to be comparable. I will say that the vision, however, on here, it looks like allowances for UnitedHealthcare, they give you like 130 for a frame and 105 for contact lenses. And what you guys have now is a 200 or 180 for the frame, and contact lenses is 150. Paying just about $4 more for a single employee, but I mean, I think I need to compare it a little bit more to kind of give you a better idea. I did message Katie and ask her if she's the one who handles the UnitedHealth.
That's the SIBO girl.
That's the SIBO girl.
Okay.
Because if I can. If she is, then I can ask her questions and she could probably give me a comparison. She has not gotten back to me. She was looking into seeing what else was out there, and she's not gotten back to me on that. We were gonna move vision to be at the same time as health insurance, like renewal. So it'll be a renewal plan on that. Same time frame, but the dental could not be renewed. And I know.
Be moved.
Yeah, it could be moved. Yeah, sorry, it couldn't be moved. Okay. I did see, though, that dental insurance gives you guys some vision coverage automatically, if I understood it correctly, but I can ask Katie that.
Wow.
Normally, under those circumstances in my past, that has been the case, but it's never been worth a hoot to have to try to use. But I was trying to compare things to see what coverages are, so I can also ask Katie that.
Okay. Are we under any kind of deadline for this, for choosing one of these?
Well, or I think the only we definitely need to get whatever we need to do for UnitedHealthcare, because that covers our life insurance. That's where our life insurance is, UnitedHealthcare.
Okay, so that's in here on the second page.
So if I need to,
and then the what we're paying is on the last page.
On the appendix?
Yeah.
Looks like it's going up about $30. I think we're paying $122 something now.
Okay. Well, we're going to lose Robert.
You're going to lose Robert.
But do you know why theirs is cheaper? Is that age based? I would have thought life insurance would be more expensive the older you are.
I don't know, because the two oldest people on here
Are the cheapest. That's what I'm saying. And also, I didn't see Josh on here.
Josh did not opt to get into it.
Oh, I thought we paid life insurance for everybody.
Well, Josh had to fill out his paperwork by January 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And he never did.
Mm-hmm.
Josh.
Why does that matter for life insurance, though?
Because that was the deadline. You got so much time after you're a new employee to be able to do that.
It's fine.
That's to do health care, right?
No, this too, because I asked.
Well, I'm telling you, I didn't fill my paperwork out for months because...
It wasn't given to you, right?
Well, there were issues, let's just say.
I mean, I can try and see if Kate... I can ask Katie.
Do you want life insurance? Try ask.
That's something we do for everybody. That's not really...
Yeah.
Because, and that's what I was telling
her. But
Rhonda.
I can ask her too why it's more expensive for younger people.
Maybe we don't want to ask that. I just thought that was interesting. I'm like, and it's obviously not male versus female. which I thought usually females were used to be cheaper.
Is it all the same coverage?
Yeah. Looks like it's just the employee, and it looks like,
yeah, mine's pretty damn cheap.
Yeah, Kayla's and Robert's are the cheapest.
Oh, Lord.
But, I mean, even base, it must be like a, it, well, it can't be, because Eric's and mine are the same, and there's a 28-year age difference there, so. And Julie's.
And mine's the same, which is a bigger age difference from Eric.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, when I was looking at them, I'm like, what?
Maybe they pay, maybe the payout is less.
Ooh.
I don't know. I can ask all those questions.
I wouldn't know why it would be, though.
Mm. It doesn't really tell you how much it is either, does it? How much life insurance is actually being purchased for that amount?
Well, it says $50,000 is the benefit. That's
where?
On the back of the first page. Yeah, right there it tells us we have 5 enrolled, which is the 5 on the last page,
oh.
Right?
Yeah. 50,000, I see it. Huh. Well, I'll tell my husband
if I can
he might murder me for $50,000.
Okay, so we're not
under
any kind of deadline to choose one of these then.
I'm trying to read in here. I mean, I'm sure we got to do it soon.
So, but you said dental, you can't.
Renewal date is 6/1/2026.
Okay,
so we can do this at the May meeting.
At the May meeting. Okay. Well, but that is for dental, vision, and
life.
And life. No?
Well, in here,
that amount,
dental, vision,
that
life,
we're paying
term.
In the back is only for life insurance.
Right.
If we add dental and vision in there, it's going to be more.
Well, but we would pay that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, like I said, their dental options seem to cover the same basic coverage,
mm-hmm.
and it's a little bit cheaper. Like an employee only,
mm-hmm.
$29.12 a month is what we're paying for Delta Dental. Monthly rate for United Health, whoever United Healthcare uses, is $24.69. You guys want to watch, I mean, I'm not on this, so I'm on the life insurance, but I am not on your dental and I am not on your vision, so you got to make sure your providers are covered. So like if we go from Delta Dental to United Healthcare, that may make you have to switch a dentist. So is $4 worth you switching a dentist a month, you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm not on it. So.
Who all is on? There's not very many. I'm on both of them, but I thought there was only like one or two other people that even take
them
anymore.
There is not very many people that is on it.
Yeah, there's not very many.
That take dental insurance or
vision.
Or vision.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And then
I don't think any of the firefighters take it.
Hmm.
I thought
Eric did.
Hmm.
I can't remember. Might have been one firefighter.
Maybe one fire.
I don't remember.
So,
so you'll
get
come
some
back
more
to
information
us.
On that, I guess, and have it in the May meeting.
I'll check and see if my dentist takes dental insurance. I mean,
we don't know what it is.
We don't know what
right?
it is. It's United Healthcare, right?
I'm assuming it's United Healthcare. But here's the deal: when I was looking through Delta Dental,
mm-hmm.
the vision's through VSP. Through Delta Dental. The information that I got, the vision benefit renewal notice, is VSP. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's just two different things and she sent it to me all at one time.
Hmm. So that might be a question to ask too, is who
yeah.
is the actual provider? Is it United Healthcare because it's through them? Or okay,
yeah.
You're going to research and get back
I'll
to us.
I'll research that and let you guys know.
On the
well,
Delta,
then I can't
on
call
the...
around for it then, so...
You'd have to know what
dentist.
Planet
I have to know
was,
what planet was.
But you're not.
If
are
I
you
find out,
I think I might. I don't know if I can now, but I think I might. Because I go to the dentist, I set every 3 months. I like to have that ultrasonic teeth cleaning done. so about every 3 months.
I don't know
months.
That it'll cover all that.
I don't care. I do it anyway, so.
Right. If Katie gets back to me right away, I might be able to shoot you an email and let you know
okay.
what she tells me.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, so.
Oh, well. I'm recording anyway.
So next up is the workman's comp options, which is the Sedgwick thing you have in your package there.
So I just explained this to Julie.
Mm-hmm.
We pay BWC,
mm-hmm.
but Sedgwick manages.
Mm-hmm.
So we are paying Sedgwick to handle all the claims,
mm-hmm.
but we also pay BWC.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We've always used Sedgwick. A lot of people use Sedgwick.
Mm-hmm.
I sent it out because it the premium amount or whatever we have to pay is over my $5,000 limit. So technically, I should ask you. If
for,
we've never voted on this, so
yeah,
I'm
for,
not sure.
So you send it out because
I
you don't
it
because
to you
we
guys.
Because we don't want. I mean, you're hiring Sedgwick because you don't want to manage.
No, I absolutely do not want to manage that.
We've always done our own.
So the Sedgwick fee says $24.15. I don't know what that projected premium is. That's the BWC thing, right?
Well, maybe that's the true up thing.
You have one of these in your package.
I don't.
You don't? Yeah, you do. Are you sure?
I'm really sure. Because all, oh yeah, I do.
I did those one thing at a time, so I
so that projected maybe that projected premium is our true up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the true up because on the last page it says the Sedgwick fee is $24.15.
Yeah.
I mean, so
that's their management cost.
I guess
ours.
Technically I didn't need to bring it to you. I brought it because I thought I was going to have to pay that $13,191.
Mm-hmm.
The true up thing that we've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we pay BWC so much money, and then at the beginning of the year, we tell them how many employees we have, and like we estimate throughout the year, and then we tell them how many employees we have. Last year, they owed us money. So this year, I didn't owe money.
They pay us? Really? I didn't
mm-hmm.
know that would ever
oh,
happen.
Yeah.
So is that does it include the firefighters?
No.
Oh, yeah.
They have their own, don't they?
No.
They have their own classification.
So this is why it's hard to estimate because...
They have their own classification, right?
So
we don't update them throughout the year when those guys come and go? So it's just based strictly on, okay, we said 20 at the end of the year and now it's 30 and they charge us for 10 extra.
Mm-hmm.
Or vice versa. Which is crazy because throughout the year it could, well, maybe they just figure it washes at the end.
So they're estimating how many, I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's what we do. I can tell you the firefighters are included with the employees because every year when me and Josh do this true up thing, we can't decide where to put the firefighters. And every year that I've done this with Josh, we've put it in the wrong column and it gave us an idea of how much it should be. And it's always some astronomical amount of money, like $40,000. And I'm like, whoa, that can't be right.
But it's based on risk, right?
Well, so that's when we figured out that the firefighters they're included as regular employees
mm-hmm.
because they're no longer volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And volunteer firefighters is a higher rate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this year I had to file a thing because it didn't tell us how much it was beforehand and it was telling me I owed $40,000. So I filed a thing and it came back, I didn't owe him anything. So, because I called the lady all in a
mm-hmm.
panic.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, just calm down. You just need to file this and explain what happened and everything will be fine.
Okay.
So
we don't need a resolution for that. I don't know why we don't do one though. We do one for United Healthcare, but that.
So don't you bill these, don't you pay this quarterly, Rhonda? Or do you do it yearly?
Yeah, no, it's monthly, right?
BWC or Sedgwick?
Well,
the true up.
The true up. Isn't it divided quarterly?
Well,
so
the true up's once a year, but we pay.
Mm-hmm. But we pay like, I don't know if it's monthly or quarterly. Or they'll tell us how much we owe, and then we send them money, and then at the end of the year, they determine if they charged us correctly.
Okay, so we don't need to decide any options there. We're going to stay with Sedgwick. Do we want to write a resolution saying that?
No.
Just to make it clear, or?
Do we need one? Why would we need one if we're staying?
We do one for United Healthcare every year.
Well, that's probably, do we do one for United Healthcare? That's probably why you've never had it, is because it's not
required.
$13,000 that I'm required to pay. And when I seen that, I was like, I can't pay this without asking first, so.
Right.
Well, okay.
So no resolution then. Okay. Speaking of resolutions, we have one on the agenda tonight. The resolution to approve the depository agreement with Park National Bank. Oh, sorry, I should let you do that. Go ahead.
Resolution number 26-04-036, a resolution approving a depository agreement with Park National Bank.
Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none.
Trustee Dick?
Yes.
Trustee Wilkerson?
Yes.
Trustee Reese.
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Okay. I have one trustee item on here. I just wanted to let you guys know this. Me and Rhonda met with the Otarma cybersecurity guy. Mm. And he recommended that we have a digital communications policy to, you know, say what we're going to have on our Facebook website, blah, blah, blah. And how, if ever, we delete things from there. You know, just a policy on it. So I haven't done any research. I don't have one. I don't have any advice to say what should be in it. I was going to go out and do some research eventually and get some samples, because there's got to be tons of these out there. And put that on the list, though, so we don't lose sight of it. If you guys want to do one. If you don't want to do one, then we just cross it off.
Don't we have to have one?
We do not have to have one.
Really? Okay.
He just said it would be a good idea. Because everything else, if you don't have it, then people go, oh, well, what do you do? And we can't point to our resolution and say, mm-hmm. Here it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if we have it and then we don't do it,
mm-hmm.
Are we prepared to do what we're going to say we're going to do in this resolution?
I would think so. I mean, we're not going to write anything in there crazy, right?
No.
Well, we don't do anything on it. I mean, really, we just post upcoming events. That's it. That's all we do.
Well, then maybe that's what we say is we... Well, that's not all we do. But, you know, part of that would be who can comment on it. We allow anybody to say everything. What's our policy for deleting it, which has to be very defined, because it's a government website. We're not supposed to ever delete anything. But if somebody's swearing at you, you can delete it. Right?
So is this like, you know, why can't we, when people are on Facebook or wherever and they're saying, the trustees don't do anything about this, they don't do anything about that. I'm not suggesting that we argue or talk about specifics, but are we able to just say like, you know, the township is aware of this issue, we're currently doing all these things, blah, 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 blah. This will be discussed in the following meeting. Like,
so you can do that. We can do that. I've done that in the past. I try to keep it very factual, no emotion.
Right.
But we should only have one person do that. Like, if you get on and say something, I should not.
Well,
because
I
now
I get on there. But, yeah, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I think if we're going to do anything, then that's what we should lay out.
That would be posting on somebody else's site, though. Or you just mean on our site, if somebody says something that's totally... I mean, I do that. If they did it on our website, I would do it anyhow.
Yeah.
But on the grapevine, you know, there's a lot of stuff that... Like, let's just take this one letter that we got. Half the stuff that was written in that letter was wrong. And then they publicized that everybody had seen it, and nobody had seen it until after he posted on the grapevine that we all got it, you know? Right. So
part of it is just like, I think there's a feeling that like,
I mean, at least this is what I've seen. I've seen, like, in the military, like, their public affairs office will respond to stuff that people post if it's completely inaccurate. But they don't argue. They don't go around and around. They don't do any, like, they just say, you know, they give you a reference to whatever it is you're talking about and let people go and do their thing. If it's just silence, though, it's almost as though it's like...
guilty.
Yeah, like, oh, so you've seen this, but you don't have anything to say about it. And that's what kind of frustrates me with some of the stuff that I see, is I'm like, that's wholly inaccurate. But we don't even say we're aware of it.
Well, you know, I've done that, like, you know, sometimes people say, you know, go look at this. They know it's not right. So I will go out and post the facts about what the township does or the trustees do as best as I can. And
as your person, your own personal?
As me. Well, I mean, I can't.
As Trustee Reese, as opposed to Bethel Township.
I can't post as Bethel Township, only on our Facebook. So no, I post as me, and I don't even say it's trustee or not trustee. I just say here's the facts. But I didn't on that one because first of all, he had quite a few things that were not quite the case in there, and I just sent him an email and said come to the meeting.
Yeah,
and then he didn't show up.
Well, he was sick, so. Maybe he'll come.
You know, well, if you want to look and see what other townships are doing with this policy and like what it means to us, I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, I just wanted to put it on the list to let you guys know that if I get some time, I will take a look at it. But that's a good point of responding to inaccuracies. I'll put that in there just to make sure I remember.
I responded to the one he put on the grapevine because I hadn't seen the email that he sent over. And said I hadn't seen it, but it
went to you.
Yeah, it did. But I hadn't seen it because I didn't look on the township's email address. Okay, I didn't see it because I didn't. First of all, didn't know he had sent it until after he had posted it. You know.
Right.
So I mean, and then I go out and I look on the township's website and read it, and it's half of it is wrong. So I didn't even respond at that point. I just let it go. Half of what he said on there, and then to send it to the county on top of that was just...
He sent it to more than the county. That's how I got the EPA thing.
Yeah.
He sent it. Yeah, he blanket sent it. But,
that's
you know,
right.
It did get a response from the EPA, so maybe it's not all bad. But, there were some things that weren't exactly accurate in there. So, but I can look at that as part of it. Mm-hmm. And this is not going to be something I do tomorrow.
No.
I'm just saying I'm putting it on the list because... If I move it to the old business, it stays on there until years.
Some of this
stuff has been on there forever, sorry. Okay, so...
So that's it.
So we'll just put it on the list and see what we can find. Okay, old business. So in the administrative part, I'm just going to tell you the things I know about. If you guys have anything you want to say, just bring it up. The cybersecurity plan, as I just mentioned, Ron and I had met with Otarma.
Mm-hmm.
The cybersecurity plan is not... we don't have to discuss it in public. So I'm just telling you this is what we did. Because we don't want people to know what our plan is, right? The other thing is I did meet with Josh and Josh, firefighter. And got a whole bunch of notes on how some of the things work. So we'll probably have to revisit that. I'm going to try to write something up. And we have that skeleton policy that we passed because of the deadline. You weren't here then, Josh, but last year. And so we have to do some things by, I think, June. So I'll work on some of that. And then I think what we need to do, though, is get somebody in here to take a look at our system. And there are some free services that do that, wanting to get our business to say, here's where your holes are. So there was one in Cincinnati, I think. I don't remember. Right. No, the
Schumacher, I think was the name of
it. So that would probably be the ultimate plan is to get somebody, once I can get something written up and understand how that I can answer more of their questions, because some of the ones that Otarma asked us, we couldn't even answer. So, okay, so that's all I have for that section. Anybody have anything else?
No.
I have nothing in the zoning, nothing in the
fire
EMS. Mm-hmm. Road department, the Scarf Road sinkhole.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Dersch Brothers,
mm-hmm.
and it is on their list still to do.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote the resolution last year for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while. It's just now getting warm enough for them to go out and do anything. So he said they were pouring some concrete this week, but it will soon be on the list. So that might be one we get to cross off pretty soon. I don't have anything else in that department, if anybody else has anything. Fiscal office, you already mentioned about the vision can move, but dental cannot. And in the trustee items, the data center moratorium. So I just want to let you guys know, in case you didn't see this, there's a legislative update. There's a House Bill 646, data centers, that creates a data center study commission within the Department of Development to study the effects of data centers coming into Ohio. And this was in the OTA message. I don't know if you guys saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It did pass the House. It says the OTA supports it, and now it goes to the Senate. So I just wanted to let you know about that. And then also, I included in your package, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm doubting myself. So I went to the Farm Bureau policy meeting on 3/24,
mm-hmm.
and they handed this out. So I just made you guys a copy so you could read.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I think that our 12-month moratorium was a good choice because other people will do the research
mm-hmm.
for us,
mm-hmm.
and then we can decide what we want to do at the end of that time.
Yeah, there's a big big to-do on one of these data centers going in.
Well, I think this is good. If the state's going to create some kind of commission,
mm-hmm.
that should give us
mm-hmm.
either ammunition or not when it comes to it, what we want to do. Okay, and that's all I had. So the next thing would be hearing of the public on any topic. None. All right. Okay, next up is our executive session. So, we have quite a few topics tonight.
Oh,
so, I'm going to read this and then ask for a motion. So, the motion to enter executive session, one, for the purpose to consider the appointment, employment, or compensation of a public employee or official, and two, for the purpose to consider the purchase of property for public purposes, and three, for the purpose to discuss details relative to the security arrangements and emergency response protocols for a public office, and four, which is necessary to consider negotiations with other political subdivisions respecting requests for economic development assistance. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Thank you. And a second?
I will second.
Great. Thanks, guys. Do you have any discussion?
Nope.
Okay, call the vote, please.
Trustee Dick?
Yep.
Trustee Wilkerson?
Yes.
Trustee Reese.
Yes, motion carries 3-0. We will go into executive session at 9:58, and we're going to stop the recordings. Josh, we're going to stop or pause them. Well, whatever you. Oops, I've lost mine.
It says pause.
Hold on a second. Mine's not there yet. I have to go find it. Okay, we're back to regular session at 12:38 a.m. Let me write that down. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Thank you. And a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Okay. Trustee Dick?
Yep.
Trustee Wilkerson?
Yes.
Trustee Reese? Yes. Motion carries 3-0. Time of adjournment is 12:39 a.m.